homies to the Dharma, homies to the Sangha. In the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, it says, all the evil ways of living, all the pain that comes from birth, old age, disease, and death, will for eternity all pass away. In the context of this scripture, which is really talking about cosmic compassion and the ways in which cosmic compassion helps us, I believe that this is clearly saying the very impermanence of existence is a blessing. It means you can't get stuck in any state of pain and just have it stay that way forever. Nothing stays that way forever. No state of feeling, no state of body, no state of mind persists forever. They arise, they have their little life, and they pass away and are replaced by something else eventually. This is true even for prolonged periods of pain and suffering. They will not last forever. And there's a kind of stoical comfort that one can derive from this, and something more than that as well. If we were to throw in more stuff and think of all the things that we like, not just things we don't like, our various states of enjoyment, of pleasure, of satisfaction, those too pass away. Well, one could despair at that. There's a great kindness in that, however. If we think for a moment about what we would become if we always got what we wanted. If we always got what we wanted, we would literally go around thinking that the universe revolved around us. And this is manifestly not true. And the things, the events that show us how untrue this is are the events that bring home to us that we don't always get what we want, and that indeed our very physical existence is very brief and ephemeral. In this way too then, there's great compassion that manifests just in the fact of impermanence. For we always need to remember that the person who is God in his own head cannot find out what God really is and does not feel the need to take refuge in what God really is. Generally speaking, it's not the enjoyable and satisfying aspects of life that provide the most incentive for training. Rather, it's when we bump up against the gritty reminders that existence is full of pain and that existence is very short and ephemeral, and that if we're going to do something about the causes of suffering within ourselves, we need to get on with it and not keep postponing it. Yet this impermanence of existence is much more than this, and the compassion within it is much more than this. And we begin to see this when we begin to realize the meaning of what Rumi Master called the flow of existence, what I've sometimes called the flow of immaculacy. For it is this very fact that whatever is happening in this present moment is dissolving away right at this very moment. It arises and it dissolves away and is replaced by something else. When meditation is brought to bear on this fleeting nature of existence, we see within it the immaculacy. And this is really the deeper meaning of the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, where it says this: all the evil ways of living, all the pain that comes from birth, old age, disease, and death will for eternity all pass away. This goes beyond the merely stoical acceptance of things. It's really a very brief description of the flow. And it is saying, even in the most difficult, trying, painful circumstances, the reality of existence is the immaculacy. And this continual dissolving away, arising and then coming into being and then passing out of being, of our states of mind, our states of feeling, our states of body, of the various states of beings and of all objects and forms of energy and the like of the world around us, the continual flux is as the reflections coming and going in a great mirror. And no reflection stains the mirror. They just flit across its surface. It remains what it is, immaculate, pure, serene, while the reflections come and go. So what I'm saying here can be put very simply in this way, that the fact of impermanence in all of its forms is a manifestation of cosmic compassion, the compassion of the eternal. And that when we recognize the fleeting nature of things, the fleeting character of things, as the flow of immaculacy, then compassion has done its job and brought forth wisdom in our consciousness. It has elicited wisdom. It has not created it, because that wisdom is inherent within our own Buddha nature. Yet what is potential within us must be actualized. And life is set up, existence is set up, to help that actualization happen. Her master said that when she first went to Sojiji temple to train, she was told by her master, expect very little. Later on she was told, expect nothing. For the purposes of this talk this morning, we could say, first want little, later want nothing. And even more importantly and more accurately, first insist on very little, then insist on nothing. For the more we want, and the more strident and demanding becomes our wanting, and it's that strident, demanding, more willful quality that's especially the problem, the less we are able to perceive immaculacy within the flow of things. Because what we're always actually perceiving, it's just our own wishes writ large on the world, and the world either accommodating them or frustrating them. So we are seeing our own self-centered viewpoint mirrored back at us by the whole world around us in all of our experience. The less we want, the less we demand, the more we bow, the more we accept, the more we perceive the inherent, unshakable rightness of things that underlies all the much more ephemeral, fleeting rightness and wrongness that flits across the mirror.